This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In early April, Brazil's lower house of Congress passed a motion to impeach President Dilma Rousseff following allegations of fiscal irresponsibility and corruption. Soon after, Rousseff's suspension and trial began in earnest, following a two-thirds majority vote in the Senate. Today, BFM delves into the circumstances surrounding Rousseff's impeachment, as well as how impeachment has been used as a measure to uphold accountability in Brazil. Dr. Guy Burton is an assistant professor at the School of Politics and International Relations with the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. He believes the political wrangling was the climax waiting to happen.
What's happened here is that we have a current economic crisis going on in Brazil. There's a very deep recession that's been going on since at least the beginning of last year. Within that as well, we have this corruption scandal that's taking place at the state oil company Petrobras. And within that, the government pretty much lost support from the beginning of this year. So this has been sort of an ongoing process. It didn't just come out of nowhere.
But how common is the impeachment proceeding? Burton weighs in.
It's not that common. I mean, to be fair, though, this is the second time that this has happened since democracy returned to Brazil in 1985. The last time this happened was actually back in 1992, when the first directly elected president, Fernando Collor, was up on corruption charges. It was very much corruption associated with venal personal corruption within his family. He effectively resigned before the case went to trial. So this is the first time that this has happened since 1992. I mean, what makes this one different, I think, is the fact that Dilma is up on charges relating to cooking the book or making changes to the national accounts. The reason for her being put up for this is she's not involved in the Petrobras scandal, which is currently underway at the moment, in which the corruption investigations are taking place in what is called the Operation Car Wash, Operação Lava Jato. That's been ongoing since 2014, and it's actually caught up a number of Congress people themselves, including the House Speaker, who oversaw the vote in the lower house. In fact, he's actually been removed for obstruction of investigation into him. But Dilma's not involved in that at the moment, so it's a very different charge that she's currently under investigation for.
Burton clarifies how impeachment works in Brazil.
So what happens, there's a process whereby a petition is brought to the House Speaker, and that was done last year. And the Speaker then institutes a 65-member congressional committee which investigates whether there is a case to be answered and whether a vote should take place. That actually began before Christmas, but the work got stopped in December, and then it restarted again in March. On the basis of that committee's report, the decision was taken for a vote to happen in the lower house. That vote took place in April when two-thirds majority had to vote for it to continue. That happened, so it then went to the Senate, which is when we had an interim where the House Speaker was removed and the new one tried to sort of call back the vote from the Senate. Of course, that didn't happen. Now, in the Senate, simply the vote that took place was effectively a simple majority vote whether or not the case should go to trial. That was passed, in fact, by a two-thirds majority. And so effectively what that meant was that the president is now suspended for up to 6 months while a trial takes place. The trial takes place in the Senate, so it's going to be very much a political act as much as a legal act, and it will be overseen by the Supreme Court judge. So within 6 months, a decision has to be made. Now, interestingly enough, the Senate has to vote two-thirds majority this time for a conviction to take place. There are two options. There could be a conviction or there could be a rejection. So potentially, if they don't reach the two-thirds majority, then the president is reinstated and can see out the rest of her term. If no decision is made, if there is no final vote that takes place within 6 months, the case also drops and the president goes back to work as well.
The people of Brazil have staged protests over this, and there are reports public opinion is divided on the impeachment. Burton explains further.
Certainly, there has been quite a lot of protests both for and against the president's impeachment. And certainly, in some of the polling that took place before the lower house vote in April, there was a sense that it was pretty evenly split with quite a large number of actually don't knows. So we do see a very sort of divided society that seems to be taking place here. What is interesting, there's been growing protests within Brazil over the last few years. This is not the first time that there have been demonstrations and protests against the government. Back in 2013, in the first half of the year, we had very large protests across the country, initially starting out in reaction to bus fares, sort of steep increases in transport prices, but then that sort of extended to cover all public services. I think what's interesting in Brazil at the moment is we're seeing a shift away from talking about quantity, about how many more hospitals, how many more schools can we build, to can we have quality public services? You know, how good are our schools? How good is our educational system? How good is our healthcare? In terms of the protests that happened in 2013, this was not just a criticism against the government, but the political class as a whole. But what was interesting was that the government rode it out. What I think is different is that in 2013, the economy wasn't in the situation it is in now. And what we've seen over the last year and a half is that Brazil has been moving into recession, unemployment has been rising, wages seem to be sort of stuck. And so as a result, what we're seeing is a much more volatile situation. So we've seen growing numbers of protesters against the government from last year and into this year.
The political analyst discusses the options Rousseff has to oppose her impeachment.
She's currently said that she's going to fight this and that she's going to use all her legal options to do that. What other options are available to her? One of them is the fact that this is obviously a very political act. The impeachment, it's obviously a constitutional legal process, but it's obviously a political action. So because effectively the jury are the senators, there's probably going to be a lot of backroom politicking taking place. So that's an option. Another option is if she does get convicted, she may well appeal. We don't know what that might mean. Another option would be potentially resignation. I mean, this is what Fernando Collor did in 1992 when the Senate moved to have a trial against him. He decided to resign in order to forestall any kind of conviction. Because, of course, if you get convicted, you lose political right. And so that would effectively mean, in Dilma's case, not being eligible for election for at least 5 years. There are some similarities with Dilma's case because Collor had lost a lot of political support. This is one of the things that is necessary for an impeachment to go ahead. If you're a strong president with a lot of political support behind you in the form of a governing coalition, a majority in Congress, then this shouldn't happen to you. Now, certainly Dilma's seen the same thing. She's seen her main political ally, the Brazilian Democratic Movement Party, which is the largest party in Congress, effectively leave the coalition back at the end of March. So she is lacking friends at the moment. And certainly if the vote goes the same way at the end of the trial as it did just to start the trial, then there's a very strong chance of her being convicted because it's effectively a two-thirds majority vote that's necessary.
He outlines the challenges Brazil will face in the event the impeachment trial is successful.
Obviously, there's both the political and the economic. I mean, the economic's going to continue. As we said, the economy is not expected to recover much this year. There might be a slight blip. But politically, what does this mean for the political parties in Brazil? With the acting president, whether or not he's going to have sufficient legitimacy. At the moment, what we see is a large degree of political support within Congress. Certainly, there is a sense that for anyone who wants to form a government in Brazil, you need to have a majority in Congress. So if there is questions from outside about Michel Temer's legitimacy, on the other hand, as long as he's got a governing coalition, he should be okay. There is a question, of course, about the future of the Workers' Party, especially if the conviction is upheld, because partly this is tied with the figure of Lula as well. Dilma was Lula's successor. He handpicked her as the candidate back in 2010 and then subsequently her re-election in 2014. And there's been some talk as to whether or not he might be a potential candidate for election again in 2018. Now, whether or not this conviction is going to be damaging on him as well is also open to question.
Burton examines the measures that can be taken in order to keep politicians accountable to the people.
The way that the impeachment process works is it requires a petition to be made within Congress, and then that starts the process. The public, their involvement is very much sort of on the outside, in the street, through protests. So obviously, what you can certainly say is that this is why there is a motivation on both sides to get as many people out into the streets as possible, because this is seen as an indirect means of influencing the congressmen and senators to vote one way or the other. I think the main way would be elections. And there has been some talk as if a conviction did take place, whether or not there would be new elections that take place in Brazil. There seems to be some uncertainty about this, whether this would necessarily happen straight away or whether we would just see out the rest of this particular term. The reason why there's some talk about new elections is because so much of the current Congress seems to be caught up in the Petrobras corruption investigations. So there's a sense that not only should we clean out the president's palace, we should also clean out Congress. The other thing as well is we have something called the fiscal responsibility law that was brought into effect in the year 2000. And what this requires is that all levels of government are supposed to make the accounts available for the public. And this is actually one of the things that Dilma has been caught out on, because effectively, if you are seen as fiddling or fixing them, there's an accountability factor in there. So this is precisely the reason why Dilma is being investigated, because of this particular fiscal responsibility law. On top of that as well, we have the media, which is very active and very independent in Brazil. In fact, those on the left like to say that it very much works with a right-wing bias. And then, of course, we have a very independent judiciary and prosecutor's office as well.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.